Today we have the privilege of studying Yeshayahu Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter of Yeshaya, which is chiefly known because it contains the prophecy about the Mashiach. It is, in fact, the most comprehensive chapter, the most comprehensive location of a discussion of Mashiach anywhere in Tanakh. And for this reason, it is a very famous chapter. It also forms the Haftarah for the 8th day of Pesach, and in some communities it is also recited on Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. As we look through the chapter, we will see some of the reasons for its connection to the 8th day of Pesach. Let us first, though, note that the Haftarah does not begin with the first pasuk of Yeshaya Yud Aleph. Rather, it begins several pasukim back with the end of Yeshaya Perek Yud, the previous chapter, chapter 10. The reasons for this are very clear. There is a direct continuum from the end of chapter 10 to the beginning of chapter 11. As we discussed last time, chapter 10 ends with the narration of an Assyrian attack on Yerushalayim. There is a very graphic and geographically precise description of how the Assyrians advance till very close to Yerushalayim, and which reaches its climax with the words, Od hayom benov la'amod, this very day they stand at Nov. Nov, as we noted, refers to the city Nov Ir HaKohanim, which is located somewhere slightly north of the old city of Jerusalem, perhaps where the Hebrew University Mount Scopus campus is today, perhaps where the neighborhood of Ramat Shlomo is today. In any case, the Assyrians advance till very close to Yerushalayim, and as they are advancing so very close to Yerushalayim, God comes in the last psukim of Perek Yud and destroys the Assyrian advance. Hinei ha'adon Hashem tzvakot mesa'ef pura b'ma'aratza, chapter 10 ends with, and then with the words, v'halvanon ba'adir yipol. God advances, chops down the Assyrian attack, prevents the Assyrians from reaching Jerusalem, and the image is that of God chopping down the Assyrians like one chops down a cedar tree. This is an intentionally ironic and satiric image, because it is the Assyrians themselves who pride themselves on their abilities to chop down cedar trees. And here the consummate cedar choppers, i.e. the Assyrians, are being chopped down by one more powerful than they, i.e. God. So God now becomes the cedar chopper who chops down the Assyrians, who prided themselves on being cedar choppers. This image of chopping down the cedar trees is very important in understanding the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, because Perek Yud Aleph in many ways continues the imagery of Perek Yud. Perek Yud ended with the idea that the cedars of Lebanon are being chopped down by God, i.e. the Assyrians are being chopped down by God. Perek Yud Aleph begins with the idea that a new shoot grows out of an old stump. It is very interesting that these two images are connected. First the tree is chopped down, and then a new shoot emerges from an old stump. But what is even more interesting is that the new shoot does not emerge from the same old stump that was just chopped down. The old stump that was just chopped down is the Assyrians. The new tree, however, emerges from a different stump. The new tree, which is the symbol of the Mashiach, doesn't emerge from the old Assyrian stump. The new tree emerges from the stump of the family of David HaMelech, King David. Who is the father of David HaMelech? Yishai, Jesse. And that is why the first pasuk of Perek Yud Aleph begins with the words, V'yatza hoter migeza Yishai. A shoot shall go forth from the stump of Jesse. In other words, a new king will emerge from an old stump. A new king emerges from the house of David HaMelech. Frequently in Tanakh, we find the image of the stump as a previous generation, and the branch or the fruit as the future generation. And here, the future generation, the generation of Mashiach, or more specifically Mashiach himself, is that new trunk, that new stump, excuse me, that new branch, that new fruit. And so the Perek begins with the idea of V'yatza choter migeza Yishai v'netzer mishorashav yifre. A shoot shall go forth from the stump of Jesse, a branch from his roots will be fruitful. The idea the Navi seeks to emphasize here is that the salvation of the world cannot come from a new Assyrian king replacing an old Assyrian king. Rather, the salvation of the world must come from a totally new model of kingship. The base of that model is David HaMelech, King David. But as we will see in this chapter, this new king is distinctive in many specific ways. The first 9 psukim of chapter 11, Yud Aleph, describe this new king. And there are 3 distinct stages in this king's, in the description that we find here of this king. The first 5 psukim explain why this king is unique and distinctive. The next psukim, psukim 6 to 8, give us some figurative imagery about this king's rule, and the description reaches its climax in Pasuk Tet, Pasuk 9. Let us go through these 3 stages. We will begin with Psukim Aleph Tehei 1 to 5, which describe the unique nature of this king's rule in many specific ways. Pasuk Bet, verse 2. V'nacha alav ruach Hashem, ruach chokhma uvina, ruach itza ugivura, ruach da'at v'yirat Hashem. The special nature of this king is here described in the spirit that rests upon him. There are 7 distinct elements to this description. They form a sort of image of a menorah, as the late Rav Breuer taught. Ruach Hashem is the centerpiece of this image. The spirit of God rests upon this king. In that sense, he is like a prophet upon whom the Spirit of God rests. But there are additional aspects of the Spirit which are described in the next 6 phrases, which contain 6 distinct words. Ruach Chochma Uvina, a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Ruach Eitza Ugvura, a spirit of strategy and acts of bravery. Ruach Da'at V'Yirat Hashem, a spirit of knowledge and loyalty to God. Yirat Hashem in this chapter, as in Sefer Devarim, means loyalty to God. Vaharicho, Pasuk Yigimel, Vaharicho b'yirat Hashem. He shall be imbued through his nostrils with loyalty to God. The word Vaharicho, which I translated as imbued through his nostrils, is indeed a very difficult word. It seems to be from the Shoresh Reach, in the sense of to cause a smell. And it is in this, for this reason that the Radak here interprets Vaharicho b'yirat Hashem lefi sha'areach hi hagasha kala omer ledavar hakal shebahagasha reach. He will be extremely sensitive because smell is the most sensitive of senses. So too this king will be extremely sensitive to the idea of loyalty to God. But it is also possible to understand the words Vaharicho b'yirat Hashem as referring to the idea of the Spirit of God moving through the king's nostrils into his spiritual being. Why is that an interesting image? Because it is parallel to the way in which God breathes the spirit of life into humans in Sefer Bereishit. Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim, we read in Parashat Bereishit. The spirit of life is breathed in through the human being's nostrils. Here, God breathes the spirit of, or God sends the spirit of knowledge of God, of fear of God, of loyalty to God, through this king's nostrils. It fills his spirit, as a result of which we find that we understand the rest of the pasuk. Lo lemareinav yishpot, velo lemishma oznav yochiach. He will not need his senses, i.e., his sight, nor his hearing, in order to judge people. He is able to judge based on Yirat Hashem, based on his loyalty to God, which fills him like a sixth sense and makes his other senses unnecessary in the process of judging. He does not need to hear evidence. He does not need to be swayed by normal human emotions. Rather, he has the sixth sense of loyalty to God, which leads him in his judicial behavior. We see this most explicitly articulated in Pasuk Dalet. V'shafat b'tzedek dalim, v'hochiach b'mishor la'anvei aretz. This is a nice example of the type of parallelism we find throughout this perek. V'shafat b'tzedek dalim, he will judge the poor with justice. V'hochiach b'mishor la'anvei aretz, he will prove for the lowly of the land with straightforwardness. Justice is parallel, judging is parallel to proving. Shafat, in other words, parallel to hochiach. Tzedek is parallel to mishor, justice parallel to straightforwardness. Dalim are parallel to anvei aretz. The poor are parallel to the lowly of the land. The idea here is that this king is a consummate
fair judge. He is able to judge people fairly through the Spirit of God that rests upon him. Why does the Pasuk speak about Dalim, judging the poor? The Radak here comments that in fact he will judge all people fairly. But since it is normal in judicial systems for judges to favor those who are well-connected, who have status or wealth, therefore the Pasuk emphasizes that this king will not pay attention to such considerations and will judge the poor fairly. A fortiori, he will judge all people fairly. V'hika eretz b'shevet piv uveruach sfatav yamit rasha. He will smite the land with the spirit of his mouth. And with the spirit of his lips, he will kill the wicked. Here we see the idea that the king does not need force to enforce his judgments. His judgment is enforced by the word of his mouth. He is able to convey to enforce his accurate judgments simply by speaking. This king does not need force. And that idea of rejection of force and power as a attribute of kingship is more explicitly discussed in Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. V'hayat tzedek ezor motnav, v'ha'emuna ezor chalatzav. Justice shall be the belt around his waist, and truth shall be the belt around his loins. Now normally the belt around a king's waist, or warrior's waist, contains such implements as a dagger or a spear. We find this many times in Sefer Shmuel, where warriors wear their weapons around their waist. Yet here this king is able to dispense with such normal trappings of royalty. Rather, his methods of waging war are justice and truth. In other words, he does not need force in order to enforce his rule. This is a fascinating image, which of course contrasts with the kingship that exists in the time of the prophet. It leads us very directly into the figurative image of Psukim 6-8. V'gar ze'ev im keves, v'namer im gedi yirbatz, v'egel u'chfir u'meri yachdav, v'nahar katon noheg bam. Psukim 6-8 contain the image: the wolf shall lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid, the calf, the lion, and the fatling together, a young child shall lead them. These are very famous psukim, and they describe peace among all aspects of the animal kingdom. Predators no longer need prey. Rather, they are herbivores like the domesticated animals. Pasuk zayin ufarav adov tirena. Yachdav yirbitzu yaldehen. Bariyeh kabakar yochal teven. Here we find descriptions of the cow and the bear together pasturing, and the lion, like the cow, eating straw. In other words, all the animals are herbivores. And this reaches an even stronger climax in Pasuk Chet, where the animals who are extremely poisonous are no longer poisonous. V'shiasha yonek al chor paten. A suckling child shall play upon the hole of a viper. V'al me'urat sifoni gamul yado hada. On the cave of a dangerous snake, a weaned child shall stretch out his hand. In other words, the snakes and the vipers are no longer dangerous. This imagery is very fascinating and has always exercised a very strong influence on people's imaginations. All the animals ceasing to fight. This is a very interesting imagery, and the Mefarshim have advanced different ideas of how to understand it. One discussion is there we find in the Radak, who comments on these verses that these are not necessarily references to a universal sense of change in the animal's nature. Rather, it is restricted to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the animals will not cause harm to the Jews, as we see in Sefer Vayikra and the promises of good of bracha, which we find in Parashat Behar, Vishbati Hayara Amin Haaretz. I will eliminate the wild animals, the evil-doing animals from the land. So this is according to Radak, a fulfillment of that promise in Sefer Vayikra. However, the Rambam understands these verses very differently. The Rambam sees these verses as referring to as a mashal, as a parable. It is a parable which describes how
the evil-doing members of the nations, in other words, evil-doing Gentiles, will seek to harm the Jews. It is a description of how the Ze'ev here is a parable for the Gentiles, the Kevest, the lamb, is a parable for the Jews. And so it is the Gentiles who will seek to harm, to cease to harm the Jews. This is the epitome of the fulfillment of the Messianic dream, that the idea of Shibud Malchuyot will be eliminated. The enslavement of the Jews, or the subjection of the Jews to the nations of the world, will be eliminated, because here everyone recognizes God's sovereignty. Without looking at the specifically national aspect of the Rambam's description, it is interesting that this idea of this as a sort of parable fits in very nicely with what we know of royal inscriptions in the ancient world, and it also fits in very nicely with the ideas in the previous and in the subsequent psukim. Psukim Aleph to Hay, 1 to 5, as we saw, we find a description of the Messianic king and how he is able to judge people without using force. That seems to imply that everyone respects his authority, and so it makes sense that Psukim Vav to Chet would be an illustration of that, in the sense that human beings respect this king's authority and no longer harm others because they understand that they must obey the king and that his word is law. That idea is more consonant, I believe, with understanding Psukim Vav Techet as referring to human beings rather than referring to animals. It is difficult somewhat to understand the connection between the idea of everyone respecting the king's authority and the idea of animals changing their very nature. We move now to Pasuk Tet, which is the climax of the prophecy. This climax is very fascinating, but because it describes the total elimination of evil doing from the world. Lo yareu ve lo yashchitu b'chol har kodshi. They will not do evil, nor will they act corruptly throughout my holy mountain. Why? Ki male'a ha'aretz de'a et Hashem kamayim layam mechasim. The earth is filled with knowledge of God, like water covers the sea. In other words, the world is full of knowledge of God, just as the sea is full of water. That is the reason that no one does evil. Well, what does knowledge of God mean here? This pasuk, I believe, is a reference to the way that knowledge of God, de'at Hashem, is used in Sefer Shmot. As we look at Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim in Sefer Shmot, we understand the idea of de'at Hashem. De'at Hashem speaks in Sefer Shmot, in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, is used to refer to the idea of recognizing God as sovereign. The whole story of the Makot, of the plagues on Egypt, is designed to achieve an awareness of God as sovereign on the part of Paro. It is designed to teach Paro that God is sovereign. How do we see that? At the very beginning of Moshe's message to Paro, in Perek Zayin in Shmot, the seventh chapter of Exodus, in Pasuk 5, we see God's promise that after the plagues, V'yad'u Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, Mitzrayim will know that I am Hashem. And so the idea of De'ayet Hashem means to acknowledge God as sovereign, to acknowledge God's control of the world. And so this psukim fit very nicely, this idea fits very nicely in these psukim. The world will be full of people who acknowledge God as sovereign, and therefore no one will do evil throughout the world because it is not relevant or necessary to do evil to another person to achieve one's goals. If one wishes to achieve a particular goal, one checks to think whether that goal is consonant with the desires of the sovereign in the world. And then if it is not, then one was not going to achieve that goal anyway, so there's no point in doing evil. We'll just think about this as very parallel to the image we saw in Perek Bet of the Mashiach, since there in Perek Bet, the idea that everyone in the world seeks to know God's ways, they will no longer fight wars. Here too, everyone accepts this Mashiach, Perek Bet was the Nevuah v'Acharit HaYamim. Perek Bet, everyone accepts God as sovereign, therefore they don't fight wars anymore. Here in Perek Yud Aleph, people no longer seek to, people accept the Mashiach as the judge, and therefore the world is full of knowledge of God People accept the sovereignty of God, and it is not necessary for them to harm others, because they are aware that if they harm others, they will be punished, and if their case is just, then they will receive a correct compensation from God without needing to take the law into their own hands. And so there is this universal recognition of God as sovereign, which is the ultimate achievement of Messianic period, as we see in Pasuk Tet. This fits very nicely with the lead-up to the Nevuah of Mashiach. As we saw at the very end of chapter 10, the lead-up to the Nevuah of Mashiach is the idea of cutting down the Assyrian rule, chopping down the Assyrian advance. God chops down the Assyrians, who are the universal rulers. He institutes a Mashiach, who is recognized by people as a judge. As a result of that, there is a universal acceptance of God as sovereign. In other words, the cutting down of the Assyrians is a prelude to a universal recognition of a new sovereign who is not the Assyrians, rather this new sovereign is God. The mechanism for achieving universal recognition of God as sovereign is Mashiach. Now, the rest of the parak, however, deals with another theme, which is certainly very central in Jewish thought, in thinking about the Messianic period. It is the theme of Kibbutz Galuyot, the ingathering of exiles. This theme is directly related to the story of leaving Egypt, as we shall see. I will present now Pasuk Yud, which is the very first Pasuk which deals with this theme. V'haya bayom ha'hu shoresh yishai asher omed l'neis amim elav goyim yidroshu v'hayta menuchato kavod. On that day, the root of Jesse, in other words, this shoot which comes forth from the trunk of Jesse, who stands as a banner to the nations, all the nations will look up to him. This idea that how is the world recognizing God's sovereignty? By looking up to this figure of the shoot from the trunk of Jesse, in other words, by looking up to the Mashiach, he will stand as a banner, a rallying point for all nations. They will all see him as a focal point. And his resting place shall be glorious. As a result of that, the nations seek to participate in the process of ingathering the exiles. The nations are not interested in keeping the Jews as residents in their various countries, as prisoners. Rather, the nations seek to allow this new regime in the world to gather the Jews into Eretz Israel. The continuation of the Perek, Psukim 11 to 16, is directly related to Perek 12, the next Perek. And therefore, in my taped shiur on Perek 12, I will deal with the second half of Yeshaya Yud Aleph, with Psukim 11 through 16. So let us recap what we've looked at here. The Assyrian advance leads to God cutting down the Assyrian advance at the end of Perek Yud. Then we have three stages in the Messianic period. First of all, the legitimation of the Messianic king as a king who's imbued with spirit, with loyalty to God, and therefore is able to judge fairly and doesn't need force to enforce his judgments. That's in Psukim 1 to 5 of chapter 11. Then in Psukim 6 to 8, we have this imagery of all the animals making peace among themselves. I suggest that this is a mashal for humans making peace among themselves. And the climax in Pasuk 9, that the whole world is filled with knowledge of God.